Welcome to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. I'm happy to be here with a good friend of mine today. Rizzy DeFabo is co-owner of Rizzo's Malabar Inn in Crabtree. Welcome to the show, Rizzy.
Hey, Jen, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm excited to talk to you because it's New Year's Eve, and I know it's probably crazy. Explain to people at home what a typical New Year's Eve is like at Rizzo's.
Well, it's a night out for everyone always, but it's a crazy night. It's one of the busiest nights of the year, followed by Mother's Day, which is probably the actual busiest day of the year, and New Year's Eve being the second busiest day of the year for the restaurant industry. New Year's Eve, we open at 4 and we close at 9:30, so our staff can go home and spend their New Year's with their family. And we offer our regular dinner menu. We also have a buffet at our banquet hall facility located across the street, which is kind of new. The last five years we've had the buffet over there, where you can get a lot of the Rizzo's fare along with pork and sauerkraut, the traditional New Year's dishes that are popular in the Western Pennsylvania area.
It's just such a, such a hectic time, but you probably have a lot of traditions associated with New Year's. So we're going to back up for a minute before we start talking about New Year's traditions and talk about the history of your restaurant and how you brought many of those traditions from old world Italy over to Crabtree. So talk about who started this restaurant. Who were the immigrants that came here, and how did this all begin?
Well, the immigrants came from, it's my dad's side of the family, the DeFabo side, that started the restaurant in 1935. They immigrated from Abruzzi, Italy. They lived on the Adriatic Sea. It's a beautiful sea area, but the war had broke out and everybody started immigrating to different parts of the world, and they immigrated to Crabtree, Pennsylvania, because there were other immigrants that came to the area and found work with the railroad. And they sent word back that there was work available in this area. And so a lot of immigrants from the same towns and villages immigrated to the same areas. They migrated together. So with them, they brought their traditions and holidays and feast days and things like that with them. And they started to celebrate them in these small coal mining town patches, such as Crabtree. So in 1935, that was the birth of the restaurant. It opened up just in time for the Our Lady of Mount Carmel Festival, which was going on in Crabtree by the immigrants from Riccia, Italy. There are a lot of Riccia people there, and they wanted to be open for that celebration because they had fireworks, and the actual Jamison Coal and Coke Company at the time actually helped pay for the fireworks for the Italian immigrants. And they wanted to be open for that special occasion, so that they did. They applied for a liquor license and they sold watermelon for 10 cents that night,
Wow.
dishes of spaghetti. I'm not sure how much the dishes of spaghetti were. And of course, they sold beer, wine, etc. And that was the birth of the restaurant.
How about that? But then it evolved, right? I mean, tell us
Yes,
about the
it
history
evolved.
over the years.
Over the years, that was my great grandparents that opened in 1935. And then my grandfather was born, Rizzo. His real name is Rizzero, and his nickname was Rizzo. And he took over and he added the name Rizzo's to the Malabar Inn. Originally, the restaurant was called the Malabar Inn. And when my grandfather took over, his nickname was Rizzo, like I said, and he put Rizzo's in front of the Malabar Inn. And then eventually, my dad was born and he took over the restaurant. Married my mom, and they took over the restaurant. And then my brother and I took over the restaurant, my brother Jerry. And now my niece and nephew work in the restaurant. They're the fifth generation to work in the restaurant. So it's going generation to generation, where a lot of businesses have closed their doors because nobody wanted to take it on anymore. The responsibility, of running it their own business. So these businesses close their doors for goods after, first and second generation.
Well, and not only have you maintained a restaurant, what other, you're in the market with so many products. Why don't you talk about that?
We have our frozen pastas on the market, which are available in Giant Eagles, Walmart, Shop and Save. There are frozen gnocchi, cavatelli. We have a line of soups. We have wedding soup, chicken noodle soup. And we also do weddings at our facility across the street from the restaurant, the Rizzo's Banquet Facility, where we do weddings, large parties, all types of gatherings. And we also have a little marketplace outside the restaurant where we, adjacent to the restaurant, I should say, where we sell a lot of our own specialty soups, pastas, sauces, imported products from Italy, along with our Rizzo's chocolates, homemade chocolates. So you get a little variety of everything in the little marketplace.
It's a lot going on there. And on top of that, I think you've actually been an author of a few cookbooks. Is that right?
Yeah, when we celebrated 75 years in business, I wanted to document the history of the restaurant and tell its story. And so I did a cookbook on the restaurant, which includes many of the restaurant's recipes and also includes recipes that we no longer serve in the restaurant because, the palates have changed over the years. People aren't eating tripe anymore. They're not eating different things. There's better things to eat today than they did back in the 30s and 40s. So, and I told the story how the restaurant evolved over the years, how different menu items ended up on the menu. Either I made them or a brother made them, or they're a guest's favorite. So we put them on the menu. And then I wrote a book about my mother's family coming to America. They come from a little town called Church Maggiore, which is in the Molise region. And it basically talks about how the immigrant kitchen met the American kitchen, and how the war changed the kitchen forever. When the war broke out, women went to work, canned juices, cake mixes hit the market, and how that affected food and in the and the American kitchen as well. So I documented that along with a lot of other pockets of Italian communities in Westmoreland County. For example, up in Ludwick area of Greensburg, there were a lot of people that came from Montepello, Italy. South Greensburg, they came from Supino, Italy, along with their food traditions, customs. All these little pockets, Hilltop of Greensburg, was settled by all the Church of Maggiore people. So every little pocket has a history in these in this area. So I documented all that the best that I could. And then I wrote a children's book about my nonna and I making the famous Italian wedding cookie. So, but no more books. I'm putting the pencil down, and that was enough of that.
Now, who was Nana? Was that your dad's mother, your grandmother?
Yeah, it was my grandmother, it was my mom's mom.
Your mom's mom.
Well,
Okay.
my mom's mom. Yeah, when we were little, when my parents worked at the restaurant. And when on Fridays we packed up and we went to stay with Nana because they worked all weekend at the restaurant. So we stayed there, and that's where I learned a lot of the traditions and things like that.
And that was priceless for you, right? I mean, that really set the stage for the traditions that you carry on today.
Correct, 100%, yes.
So tell us about some of those traditions. Let's start with Christmas. What kind of Italian traditions have you brought to Crabtree in Western Pennsylvania?
Well, I think the tradition was already here. Everybody, if there's one slice of culinary history that the Italians hold near and dear to their heart, is the Christmas Eve celebration of the fishes. And it still goes on today, but it's way different than what it was or how it started. When I was little and we didn't have lobster, we didn't have scallops, we didn't have tuna. Well, we had tuna sauce, but we didn't have all these fancy fishes. It was bacalao, smelts, tuna, anchovies. They were just made so many different ways. It's how they got their seven fishes. But now it evolved into lobster. Nobody could afford a lobster tail back then, nor would they even know what to do with it.
Right,
But the
right.
Eel was on the table, for many, many years, but it has left the table for good, the eel, because, Grandpap ate it. He's no longer here. Women and men today wouldn't even know what to do with an eel sitting in front of them, how to clean it, how to cook it. So, But one thing that still holds true is the famous bacala fish that everybody still cooks. But if they don't cook that, they do all the other fancy fishes, you know, that weren't part of the original custom of the fish celebration.
But what do you like? What's your favorite? You know, if you could make one or two things, which ones are your favorite?
Well, I don't eat fish.
You
I don't
don't
do
eat
any
fish?
seafood.
Really?
No
But you
seafood.
cook it so well.
I'll cook it, clean it, fry it, bake it, whatever you need to do with it, but I don't eat it. I don't really know why I don't eat it. I just don't like it. But we do prepare cauliflower on Christmas Eve. It's battered and fried. And because cauliflower grew abundantly in Italy, especially in the later months, and it's a hearty, hearty, hearty vegetable. So I like the fried cauliflower on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I know you said you don't eat fish, so you don't eat smelts or the fried smelts balls. I don't know what they're called, but that seems to be a big tradition as well.
That is anchovy balls, bacala balls. It's basically just a bread dough. You can, I know people nowadays buy frozen bread dough, thaw it out. They'll pull little balls apart and put an anchovy in it, close it up, roll it like you would meatball, and drop it into hot oil.
And still,
And
that's
the
not your thing. That's not your thing.
The smelt either. I mean, I'll clean hundreds and hundreds of smelts every year, but I won't eat any. In fact, they're actually getting harder and harder to come by. For what reason, I don't know. But there's two different types of smelt. There's an ocean smelt, and then there's lake smelt. The ocean smelts are the larger smelts. They're meatier. They're easier to clean. The lake smelts are smaller. They're more tedious to clean. Once you clean them, there's nothing really left to them. So you need to try to find the ocean smelt if you're going to go prepare your, take the time to clean them, et cetera.
Now that meatless meal has some religious ties to it as well on Christmas Eve, right?
Correct. Yeah. Italians do not eat meat on Christmas Eve. So that's how the fish came into play. I don't believe that it's the standard across the board, but it is a religious holiday that is meatless, and the fish is the main staple. Now, Christmas Day takes a whole new turn, either with capon or brujol, you know, very hearty meat dishes, soups and heavy soups and stuff like that, because they considered Christmas Eve to be a fasting meal.
Right, the fasting meal. And then the next day, do you have like typical dishes that you do on Christmas Day?
Christmas Day was always a capon and stuffed with Italian stuffing. And the stuffing is made with lots of eggs, ground bread. We cook the giblets from the capon, the neck and all that, and boil those. Then we chop them up and add them to the stuffing with golden raisins, Romano cheese, fresh parsley. And that is the stuffing for the capon.
And then do you do a lot of takeout for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day? Because you're closed for part of that, right?
We're
I think.
Closed. Yes, we're closed on 24th and 25th, but we do a very big party pickup on the 23rd. Everything is a heat and serve. So we have a whole system and a whole crew that comes in just to prepare those meals and distribute them, you know, with the guests coming in. You'll see 20, 25 cars in the parking lot with their trunks up, and you'll see runners running carts of food out to the cars. Come up, give your name, give the make of your car. We fill the order. It's all pre-order, and then somebody brings it out to you. So it's a big day for party pickups and trays of food, things like that.
That's amazing. So much work and so much good work you do in the community as well. When we come back, we're going to talk to Rizzi DeFabo about the charitable work he does in the community, some causes that are near and dear to his heart, and how he continues to keep the tradition of giving alive in the community. You're listening to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Classic Hits 107.1. Listen live at WHJBFM.com.
Welcome back to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. I'm here today with Rizzy DeFabo. He is the co-owner of Rizzo's Malabar Inn in Crabtree. And we spent the first part of the show talking about the traditions that he brought, really his family brought from Italy to the United States. But, you know, you continue those traditions, especially when it comes to the community. And there are multiple times of the year where you sort of open your restaurant to the Crabtree community. You know, you're so involved and so compassionate. So can you explain to people at home who might not know what you do on those special days and why you do it?
We have a each year during the Feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel in Crabtree, they have a special mass, and then they have a procession down the streets of Crabtree. And we invite people back to the restaurant to eat as part of a thank you and gratitude for everybody, and to celebrate the day together, because it is a major Italian holiday, and it's my dad's Christmas, as we say. So we try to invite everybody back to have a good time. The Italian band is there, big buffet, all types of desserts and things like that. So we welcome people that join us for that day back to the restaurant. And then different things throughout the year we do at Easter time. We make a 25 pound 3 foot rabbit, chocolate rabbit, that we raffle off to different charities. Every year we pick a different charity, and it's $1 raffle, and we donate the money to whoever wins the raffle, and we give the money to charity. We do that a couple times a year for different charities, different large pieces of chocolate. So if you're looking to win a 25 pound 3 foot bunny, you know, that's your place to do it.
I feel like that's the one clip from this radio show that they're going to pull out for the promo, right? If you're looking to win a 25-pound chocolate bunny, you know where to go, for sure. That's fantastic. I mean, it's important to you that you stay connected and stay, I guess, you know, on such good terms with the community, because Crabtree is important to you, right? I mean, that's your home.
Yeah, that's our home. I mean, that was the birthplace of the restaurant. And, you know, Crabtree has a lot of, for a little wee small coal mining town, you know, it had some thriving businesses today and in its day years ago. There were two major restaurants in Crabtree that people came to. There's Bardini's Country Meats right up behind us. In fact, their family immigrated from Italy, and not far from our family, and they were family friends for years and years. So for a little small coal mining town, Crabtree has a lot going on in it, and especially for the fireworks in July. Everybody knows Crabtree for fireworks. If you say, Crabtree, they go, oh, the big fireworks. So it was been noted for fireworks since the 30s. So it's a little small town with a lot going on.
And who runs that firework? Who puts that on?
It's, onto the church now, St. Bartholomew Church. So everything is, done through the church. It's a church festival. It was originally started by the Italian Club. When the Italian Club went, dismissed, you know, everybody, there was no interest in it anymore. It was taken over by the Crabtree Fire Department. And then after the fire department, whatever transpired after that, for the last 30, 40 years, it's now been under the auspice of the St. Bartholomew Church.
And it's amazing. I mean, is it accurate to say thousands of people come to see it?
Oh, thousands and thousands and thousands. Yeah, you know, all the fields, the local farmers' fields, are filled with cars, people, hay wagons. Sometimes they guess as far as 17,000-18,000 people are in the area.
And what do you do that night? What's your role during that festival?
Well, the restaurant helps a lot with the church. We do a lot of the cooking at the restaurant to help the pressure off the workers at the church. So we do a lot of the food we prepare and send it up to the church, such as like cooking all the sausage, cooking the peppers and onions for the sausage, different things that we can do in the restaurant to help the volunteers at the church make their life easier, per se. So we help with all the ordering of the products, a little bit of everything that we can do to help the church and help the volunteers make their life a little easier.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. I mean, once again, you know, just sort of right there on the front lines in the weeds, making sure the community is feeling supported by the restaurant, which is great. So, you know, New Year's resolutions for 2024, have anything to share with us or any exciting news on the horizon?
No exciting news at Rizzo's. We'll be there. Come on out and see us. We'll be there. But nothing new and exciting coming up for 2024. But you never know what could be in the midst out there. We could brew up something real fast if we need to.
Well, and that's exactly what you had to do quickly to adapt to COVID-19. Why don't you talk a little bit about the adaptation and what you had to do to keep people employed and working?
Almost 1 year before COVID had hit, I told my brother we were going to do a drive-through, and you were going to pull up, would be a set meal. You pull up and would tell us how many meals you needed, and we would put them in your car, you know, be right there, put them in your car, and you pay and you'd be on your way. No need to get out of your car, almost like a drive-through type drive-up. You would at McDonald's or Burger King or anywhere like that. So I said, okay, we're going to try this, see how it goes, so on and so forth. Well, it took off to the point where we stopped traffic north and south on 119 with traffic jams for week after week after week, to the point where the police were there trying to get people through. It was just crazy. And then COVID broke out. We did that one every Thursday for a solid year. And then COVID broke out and we did it 5 nights a week. We had a set meal and that you could pull in the parking lot, grab and go. So we were 1 year into it before the pandemic actually hit. And we were just flew right through with it.
But it had to be challenging. I mean, it was a whole reset of the way you did business, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, trying to juggle to keep as many people as we could employed. You know, they would come in, help prep the meals, box the meals, you know, help set the drive-through up, help, you know, help outside with serving the meals. So we tried to keep as many people as we could employed, excuse me, during that time by doing at that magnitude.
And it was an enormous amount of work, but it was profitable, right? You were able to continue?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it kept us alive for that period, kept our name out there, you know, that we did what we needed to do to get through it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I remember seeing pictures online of the lines and lines of people lining up. And I think you're fortunate that you have the parking lot that you do to be able to create that line. Although I'm sure there were times that you were backed out to 119. Is that right?
Yeah, it was backed up for miles on both sides, north and south. And it was to the point where we had to redirect traffic past the restaurant and loop them through another way to get the people off the highway. So that people, several people in different spots directing traffic, getting them through.
Oh my goodness. So you not only had to have food prep and people running, but also you had to have traffic directors.
Traffic people, yeah. Traffic directors, yes.
Oh my goodness. And setting up the logistics to that. Now, are you still doing the pickup meals, the takeout meals where people can line up and do that?
We do them sporadically throughout the year now, not as much. But when we do them, excuse me, we give people about 2 or 3 weeks notice. Everybody like calls all the time, when are you having a drive-through? When are you having a drive-through? So we give them about 2 to 3 weeks notice, and we jam them up again. So thank God that they still come for their meal. And there's regulars that do it every drive-through. You can guarantee that you're going to see some of the same people.
That's great. So, for people who've not been to Rizzo's before, what do you recommend? What should they get on the menu? What's your favorite thing? And what do you tell people?
Well, everybody asks me what my favorite thing is. Believe it or not, it's cheese ravioli.
Really?
That's simple. Yep, that's my favorite thing.
Any reason? You
And
just
I think it
like.
was a comfort food growing up. I think it was, something that we had as a comfort food growing up. They were always a specialty. My grandmother made them for every special occasion. I'm not a big seafood eater, like I said before, no seafood, but the cheese ravioli, beef brisket. I love a good beef brisket. That's one of my favorites as well.
Fantastic. And sometimes Crabtree isn't on the map. It might not be top of mind to people to come out. And you've really utilized social media to call attention to the restaurant and really all the activities that you do there, correct?
Correct. Facebook, Twitter, all the anything that comes out, everybody's using different apps these days, things like that. So, whatever we can do to get the word of Rizzo's out there. So check out our Facebook page, check out our Twitter, our website as well. It's up to date all the time with everything that's going on throughout the year, summer entertainment. Everything that goes on for the Christmas season, Easter season. So check out our website, Facebook.
And for New Year's, what would be a traditional dish that people may want to try at home either tonight or tomorrow on New Year's Day?
One of the things that the Italians eat on New Year's Eve are lentils. Lentils are a sign of, they say, resemble coins, so they're to bring you wealth in the coming year. Some people, my grandmother would set a quarter, dime, and a nickel and a penny outside her windowsill every year, her bedroom window. They say to have money all year long. So she had stacks and stacks of coins outside her bedroom window. But lentils with sausage, lentil soup, and one other crazy tradition that some people do, Italians do, is walk up and down the steps 7 times on New Year's Eve. Is to bring you good luck in the coming year. We never
Also,
did that, but some people do it.
also get your heart rate up. I mean, burn some calories.
Yeah,
Why not? Right? Hey, it's a good way to
Year's
get
Eve,
started with the
walk up and
year.
down your steps seven
That's
times.
fantastic. I love it. Rizzy DeFabo is the co-owner of Rizzo's Malabar Inn in Crabtree. He's been a wonderful guest today and a wonderful servant to the community. Rizzy, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, everybody, and have a great, happy, healthy new year.
You're listening to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. Thanks for listening.